Blog Talk Radio.
Not change.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom, family. How y'all doing tonight? Pray for everybody who's doing well, getting ready for the doors of the Shabbat to be open. Hallelujah. I'm your brother, Ariel, once again with another segment into the kingdoms of the earth. Who shall rule? Matter of fact, we are in our last installment today. This will only be four, but this is my sixth week, so we most likely will pick this up and within another 6 weeks as the brother Yahweh brings his word through him. But once again, I'm your brother Ariel here at Iblis Culture by the way of Kol Elohim, coming out of Baltimore, Maryland, from the congregation of Beth Yahweh. Once again, with another lesson of Kingdoms of Yah, and it has a subtitle to this, is the correlations of the two bodies, and I toiled with this for a minute yesterday when I really got a chance to sit down and talk to Abba Yah about this lesson, because I felt it was incomplete. And Abiyah, I don't want to end it like that. I just don't want to go to the end. So Abiyah, being the good father he is, he does listen to us. I mean, we feel it certain ways. He listens. I got you. Don't worry about it. Just because it sat there for hours, and the paper was blank. And then he started talking, and I started writing. Amen. And in the correlation of the two bodies, we did have earlier in this, the rise of the two kingdoms out of the sea, you know, and all of it is, the word is talking about the same thing over and over again, especially if you are here, a member of Beth Yahweh, you know that and you understand that the word is it's almost like a tossed salad, you know. It's flipped up, mixed up in so many different ways to say the same thing over and over and over again. You know, the age-old battle, good versus evil. The age-old battle, good versus evil. And what we have been learning here at Beth Yahweh, that the evil does not always start from out. You know, we're learning the fight the evil that's within first, you know, and to cast that out. And in the sense of what Yahushua said to his disciples, his Talmudim, that clean the inside of the cup and the outside of the cup will be clean. You know, so that's the mindset that he has been dealing with this congregation here in Baltimore, that Yahweh with, is to clean the mindset, clean the inside of our cup, you know, to get that part right, you know, just on the teachings that he had been given the Marais, you know, and our spiritual leader, Rabbi, just over and over again, basically saying the same thing, get your spirit right. Get your spirit. You have the knowledge now, but now get your spirit right. Get that right. Fill up those cracks that way when the adversary comes, the opponent, he won't have too many places to go. And even if he do get in, that he can't stay in, that he won't be able to be there for a while and do much damage. We know he gets in. We know that every now and then a crack is there and he slides in. He slides in. And briefly, I'm sounding good and I'm clear. And if I'm not, somebody shoot me a text, but I will take that I haven't got a text that I can't hear you, that I'm sounding clear. But in fact, before I just get to rambling, let me open up with a prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, once again, for bringing us to the Shabbat door, Father, we all wait eagerly for the door to be open, Father, so we can come in and sup with you, Father. That the meal that you have bestowed for us, Father, through your Marais, Father, on this Shabbat Eve so far, Father. Father Yah, we ask and pray for all those who are ailing in any type of way, Father, mentally, physically, spiritually, Father, emotionally, Father, that you touch them, that you heal them, Father, anybody, Father, under the banner of Beth Yahweh, Father, under the banner of Yisrael of Yah, Father, that you continue to keep your hedge around them, Father, that you continue to give them the lessons that they need to learn, Father, that you continue to strengthen them, Father, continue to bring us towards your holy mountain, Father. As we walk with you, Father, and we talk with us, Father, allow us, when we go to the left and go to the right, to be corrected with your loving commitment, Father, to be chastised with your loving, Father. As the brother said the other night, that you know when he gets chastised, he knows that it's your hand, it's your love. He said, you're chasing those whom you love, Father. So we look forward to your chasing, Father. Though it may not feel good, Father, but we know at the end of the day it's for our good, Father. You said your word and you work for the good of us, Father. There's no hurt, harm, or danger that you will have us go through that you are not there with us, Father. Father, so allow us to just come to an understanding of who we are and whose we are. Because we hear that a lot in the world. But we really need to come to understanding that. Who we are and whose we are. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. So are you, Yahweh, of the universe, who have sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as inheritance, a remembrance of creation. Thus are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Amen. I'm reading this interesting book. Matter of fact, the book was for Sean, my son, and it's called The Masculine Journey, The Six Ways to Masculinity. So the older gentleman on the job at university gave me the book. Yeah, it was this week, I believe. So even Monday, I believe he brought it in Monday. So we talked about it last week. And sitting up there on the dresser, it could have been last week. I mean, this was a long week, family. Forgive me if I don't remember every detail. And he set it up. I set it up on a dresser for a week. I mean, not for a week, for a couple of days. And I told Sean that I have a book for him, that I want him to read this book. But you know how Yahweh do. Yahweh start talking to you. You walk past the book a lot of times. You look at it, but you really ain't paying it no mind, and you look at it. So one day I grabbed it. I said, let me look at these things. Because he said you should buy the book so that way when your son read it, y'all can go through it together. Look at it and go through the table contents of masculinity, the journey of masculinity, and one of the thoughts that the man was putting out, I believe his name was Robert Harris. No, Robert Ricks, I believe that's what it says. And he was saying how the masculine man here in America is gone, you know. So, I really wanted that because I really want my son to understand what it is to be a masculine man, and not in the sense that I could lift up 1,000 pounds. No, the totality of a man, and it goes through these six stages. And I did remember for him and. Even in the table of contents, when I read, they were Hebrew words. I believe the guy who wrote it was a pastor. And the first one that you come to was a gibbon, you know, a warrior. You know, then the second one, I believe, was the ish, which is the husband, and za'ar. Then it has zaken. And I forgot the other two Hebrew words that, but who knew? I didn't know that the book had the Hebrew words in it and the Hebrew meanings, and then go into how the Hebrew people thought You know, so I'm at that moment, I believe, hey, I'll be all right. What you trying to tell me? I need to read this book. So I picked it up and I started reading. And one of the points that the pastor was making, and he was talking about the Iran crisis, where they lived at in Hawaii, that they was put on high alert. And on this high alert, that the church that he was the pastor over, nothing but Marines went there. Nothing but Marines there because he lived so close to the Marine base. And one Marine in mind that he had in mind about, they was really praying for because he was high. He was a high-ranking Marine, I believe, that he was saying. And what he was bringing out was how the whole church was praying for him because he was about to be shipped out. But he said the presidential order came through and it was on stand down, we're not moving out. And he came home and the whole church was ecstatic. Everybody was happy for him. And he said he got a chance to talk to Marine alone and they asked him, he said, I know you are happy. And he said, to his surprise, he said, the Marine was like, no. He said, as a Marine, we trained for war. This is what we trained for our whole life, to go to war. And he was like, any Marine would tell you that it would have been disappointing to them not to go to war. Because our mindset as Marines, we are the first one on shore and the first ones in the battle. We are the first ones. And we was trained to be Marines, and wherever we at, we are Marines. And my whole life is surrounded around being a Marine, being a warrior for the United States Army, right? And I thought that was interesting, and I understood the thought that RBI was giving for believers. We the first one in battle. But a lot of times, even myself, forget that we in war. Constantly, we in war. And even thinking about even our elder that passed away, Brother Brown, if you ever got him to talking about the Marines and what he did, how excited he got. He got real excited. And did he have stories? We here in Beth Yahweh, we know the stories that Brother Brown had. Brother Meta'al, I believe that's his name. Oh, Brother Brown. He had stories about being, and he would light up when he tell you about being a Marine and the things that he did. And he was a tunnel rat in, I believe, the last Vietnam War. And they would jump down and, oh, yeah. And he would tell it as if it was no big deal for him to jump in the enemy's hole and over in another country and run up and down, and he wasn't afraid to do that. And not many men would do that. Not many men would jump in those holes. They called them tunnel rats. And their job was to go down there and kill everything in there because the enemy over in Vietnam, they was using that to their advantage. And you go to war with somebody else, man, they have an advantage already, but not if you train. Not in Brother Brown's mind, not if you're a trained Marine. You train to do a job. You train to be a gabar, a warrior. And I thought that was very interesting. Matter of fact, I got a chance to tell my brother Harb about it. And I'm like, wow, man, I'm going to read this book before I give it to Sean because it's good. I just want to hear these things and hear the lessons that Abba Yah gives us out of that, give me out of that. And the funny thing is we get lessons out of everything. And Abba Yah is forever trying to teach us in everything. So as believers, the war is always in front of us. Remember Rabbi Ghost had been down, you telling us we never put down our weapons of war. We should never, as believers, we are always behind enemy lines. We're always behind enemy lines. But tonight, we're going to see some of that. We're going to see the mindset and understand that why did Yahushua see greater works? When we come to understand what this first body have done to the world and what it's doing to the world in today's mindset, And we're going to read it in Daniel. Some of y'all may know where we're going at about the image, which is a body. You know? And we, and some of y'all may know that the other body is Yahushua, the body of Yahushua. But Hillel has a body too. Hillel has a kingdom too. Satan has a body. And this body is doing something. We talked about the influences last week, what these five kingdoms had. Tonight we'll talk about four of them. But all five kingdoms have great influences on today's world. Great influences. And all of us have been touched by it. All of us. Especially we live in this day and time. And you're going to be surprised what will be the fruit of the enemy's spirit. What does he use for us to move away from the being that either that Gabbah, that warrior man, or just a warrior for Abba Yah, and keeping that mindset in front of us, having that mind that Yahushua had, that I'm about my father's business. And even if we be honest with that, is that possible? Is that possible in today's world, say that I'm about my father's business and use about that at all times? Today's world and the world that Yahushua live in is vastly different. I'm not telling y'all nothing that y'all don't know, but it is vastly different by eons. I mean, by mounds and the gap of the mindset of man. Today, when the man walked on the earth, when Yahushua walked on the earth, it is. I mean, when I say it's totally different, do yourself a favor sometimes. Just sit and ponder on those things. Sit and ponder on the mindset of man today. And where we start at is looking in the mirror. We start by looking in the mirror at our own mindset. And the bombardment of Hillel on our psyche, even ourselves on our psyche. Ourselves, we bombarded, we overload our psyche at times. And everything is a trigger in today's world. And what could take you now a pattern of thinking just like that. When I say anything and everything, trust and believe, any and everything can take you off the path of Yahushua that we have in our psyche, that we have in our memories. But that doesn't mean that we stay off the path. That don't mean that we don't pull down those things that exalt yourself against Yahushua, as the scripture says, putting it under subjection to him. But sometimes these things, they jump up and they grab us. And we don't realize we've been grabbed. You really have to understand why Yahushua said, greater works ye shall do. When we look at a few words today, greater works ye shall do in this world. The mind of people. The mind of people. And how they perceive. Our brother Shabbat El brought out some things this past Rosh Kodesh, the beginning of the month, about the minds and how they perceive the word of God. How they perceive who he is. And if you speak with your coworkers or anybody that's outside of the faith and they believe in another mighty one, or they reading from the same Bible, you should know the mindset. And y'all can have great conversations until you say something that differs. They can mention a scripture, and you go, oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite scriptures. I love that. And they'd be breaking it down. But the scripture come to mind is when they take you, serve another mighty one. I believe that's in Deuteronomy when he talks about if a dreamer or a dream will come up and he show you something, he tell you something. And he said, even if it come to pass. But you know what? I give all that praise and glory to JC. Like, oh, man, dang. I give all that praise and glory to Allah. And I can say Allah because that right there is in the Hebrew scriptures. Allah. If you don't know, go into the book of Daniel. It's in there. That's it. It's in there. All it means is God. That's it. Another term for God. It's no different than if we say Elohim. But I believe it's the Aramaic term, I believe, for Elohim. If I'm wrong, I will come back and I'll correct that. Or if somebody on the line, they can send that out and correct that. But let's get started, family. Let's get started. I had a good week, pretty free. Everybody else had a good week. It was tiring, but I feel like we're doing much more work this week. I know I average 6 miles a day, 7 miles, probably me and the brother Harvell. I think I'm coming in early. Let's go to Yeshayahu, Isaiah 33:22, and let's get into what Abiyah had for us tonight. And this has been the mantra for the last 5 weeks, at least 4 weeks. This has been the mantra when we did that. We did have two, one where we are just prayed. I wanted to pray with the people, and one where we just talk, where I just wanted to talk with the people. For Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is, he will save us. Amen. And I really wanted to get to that and show through the scriptures that it is, that is he, and he, what he have done for us. And I really wanted to get to, but we'll get to it. Abba willing, we'll get to it. Let me get out of what I want and you do what Abba wants. So it won't be long tonight, family. It won't be long at all. So we're going to Daniel. Daniel 2. And the correlation of the two bodies. We did get a chance to talk about that in, matter of fact, I'm starting at Daniel 2, verse 31. I'm just going to go from 31 to 45 to give the whole thought of what Daniel, I'm just going to go and read the interpretation of it, but I got to give the whole thought first just before we get into the interpretation. We're going to go to 1 to 45. But we did get a chance to go through some things already. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. Spirit was troubled, and sleep went from him. The king commanded to call the magicians and the enchanters and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came in and stood before the king. And there's a thought right there. The scriptures talks about in Psalms 83, Master, we're going to read a little bit of that later, that how these kings, how these coalitions are coming together. In fact, we read about that, or the book of Revelations talks about how all the kings of the earth is going to come together. So right now, as what we talked about before, how the correlations are being brought together, the NATO, and both of these are fighting for supremacy, but we know they're both on the same team at the end of the day. To us, the people who may be on the outside looking in, not understanding that they both being ran by the same 10 rulers that the scripture talks about, the same 10 men that's behind the scenes. that Daniel talks about, I believe, Revelation talks about it. Also in 2 Ezra chapter 13 and 14 talks about these men, these rulers, these hidden rulers that's actually ruling. And they're ruling both sides. But they're ruling both sides to bring about one, to bring about a oneness. And if we can see that in the world, as long as we stand in the graces of Yah. Then the king commandment, three. The king said to them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in the Syrian language. O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered the Chaldean, the thing has gone from me. If you don't make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be cut in pieces and your houses will be made a dunghill. We didn't read this before, but again, it never amazes me when we read it and seeing the mindset of the magicians and all those people. They looking at the king like he crazy. How you going to kill me because you don't remember a dream and you want me to remember a dream? Man, that's impossible. And listen to them. They answered the second time and said, let the king tell us, his servant, the dream, and we will show the interpretation. And as if the king wasn't serious about what he just said, in their mind, they had to be like, man, you must be, what's wrong with you? Tell us. But the king was serious about what he just said. The king answered, I know of a certain that you are trying to gain time because you see the thing has gone from me. In other words, look, I'm really telling y'all this, I don't remember. Because I don't remember, I want y'all to remember. And y'all don't, I'm going to kill you. But if you don't make known to me the dream, there is but one law for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me until the situation changes. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man on the earth who can show the king's matter, because no king, lord, or ruler has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. It is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is no other who can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were to be slain. They sought Daniel and his companions to be slain. Then Daniel returned and answered with counsel and prudence to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so urgent from the king? Then Arioch made the king known to Daniel. Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would appoint him a time and he would show the king interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that they would desire mercies of Yah of heaven and concerning the mighty one of heaven, have concerning this secret, that Daniel and his companions would not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the mighty one of heaven. Daniel answered, blessed be the name of Yahweh forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the time and the season. He removes kings and set up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Thank you and praise you, Yahweh, mighty you, Elohim of my father, who have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we desire of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said this to him, "Don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show to the king the interpretation." Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said this to him, "I have found a man of the children of the captivity of Yehuda who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Who are you? Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "The secret which the king has dreamed can't be shown to the king by wise men, enchanters, magicians, or soothsayers. But there is a mighty one in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head on your bed are these." And one key word that Daniel said, and that I'm just going to speak on for a moment, is the latter days. The latter days. Keep that in mind. "As for you, O king, thoughts came on your bed what should happen hereafter, and he who reveals secret has made known to you what will happen. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but to the intent that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your heart." I love the humility of Daniel. I love the humility of Daniel and the example that he's laying down for all of us as believers. Because as we have heard a million times, many of times, that I know nothing, but it's Yahweh who knows everything. Everything. I believe our spiritual leaders, Rabbi Gershom and Daniel, Rabbi Yaakov, you have heard that from them a many times. It's not man, but it's Yahweh who gives us wisdom. Not us. Not us. Yahweh. Who reveals, who shows, who guides, who leads, who does everything for Yisra'el. Everything. Even in our dark times, he's there. David said, "If I went down into hell or Sheol, you are there. There's nowhere I can go to hide from you." We may believe in our mind that Abba Yah don't see, but he sees everything. He knows everything. He even knows the end from the beginning. There's nothing catching him by surprise. We are talking about a conversation I had a little later. "But as for me," 30 again, "but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but to the intent that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, saw and behold a great image." As a matter of fact, give me a moment. "A great image. This image, which was mighty, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and its appearance was terrifying." Can we just stop here for 1 second? Let me go into the King James with the Strong's Concordance. The very first thing that Daniel says, the interpretation that Abba gives Daniel, that this image is great, is bright, So and is bringing some sort of light. We just don't want to read over this as we and heard a many times. We want to dive in. We want to really dig into this and allow it to fit in our mind and savor it. Go over it and over it again, and then we want to bring it up to date and look and find out how the word of Yahweh have been traveling through time. It never been stagnated. It never stopped. It moves as we have learned this past Elder Point. It moves. It does not stop. And for us today, it should give us assurance that we're on the right path, that we are under the only true mighty one. Because even back then when we just read, the Chaldeans mentioned God. So that only known to the God. But they didn't serve Yahweh, but they served other gods in their mind, these other gods. We know that there's no other God. But they even know that what you're talking, King, only a mighty one, only a God can show up that. Allow himself would be able to go and see what that man drink if he did not have influence on that drink. Now, understand what I'm saying. Allow can give us influences. He can influence our dreams. Scripture talks about it. He can influence our dreams. But he didn't know that dream that the king had. He didn't understand it. Why? Because that dream came from Yahweh. And Yahweh shut that man's thoughts off when he woke up. All he knew while he was laying in that bed, as all of us, when we ever had a dream that bothered us, and we're like, you know what? I can't remember it. But I know I had a dream. Yahweh shut that off. Allah can't go and pull that out. He don't have that type of power. Only Abba do. Only Abba do. But the first image that Abba wanted us to see, thought about this image, it was bright. It was grand. It was great. That was one of the first things he wanted us to understand about this image that Daniel was seeing, that he showed Daniel. 31 again. Thou, O king, saw and behold a great image. Sometimes I love how we've been taught. Just ask a question. Father, why did you have the writer put that word in it? Great. Why does this thing have to be grand? Why that image should be put in our mind? This great image whose brightness, and why it got to be bright, cloudy? Why it's not dark? Because we know it ain't of Yahweh. So why is it bright? Why is that the thought that Abba Yah is putting in our head, giving us this image? Because if you're like me, I like to visualize as I read. I like to see. I like to try to be there, try to go back and see it. I like to use my imagination. So then he said, the brightness was excellent. Excellent. And then when you look up that word, it takes you to, that's just looking up. That's just looking up. Give me a minute, family. I'm going down. And this is the Browns driver, and it's Aramaic. Yeah, that the word was in Aramaic. Yetir, a preeminent. And when you look that word up in the English, it talks about a grandness, a first. You know, a first. I just want to stop for a moment, and I want us to ponder on that about this image. And then we got to ask the question, Abba Yah, don't you supposed to get the preeminence? Aren't you the grandest in this world? Why are you allowing this image describe like this? And why are you saying that this is what this image is going to be? To have all that, the grandness, the preeminence in this world. You know, Hillel must have pulled the fast one over on Abiyah. Or did he? Or is the grand architect, the grand chess player, right, is making moves 10 and 15 and 20 times way ahead of Hillel. But the preeminence, right? And you just keep going down, all the way down to the Anderson's corresponding to Hebrews 34:92, preeminent, exceeding, excellent. It says adverbially, very, exceeding, exceedingly, excellent. This is this image of this collaboration, all these kingdoms. Remember, he's given us an image, and even that we know that Rome is going to be at the head of it in the end, but he, look where he described Rome at. Rome is going to be the feet, the foundation. We're going to read it, but we're not going to read that part in Rome. We're going to talk about these four kingdoms, but we know the fourth kingdom, he said, will be diverse than all the other kingdoms. But he gives us the image of this of a man, and Rome is the feet of the man. Rome is the foundation. Rome is the one that carries this image throughout the rest of the world, because it's all one body. But when we read it, we break it down to the four kingdoms. But we've been taught it's just like the blob. They just absorb one another, coalition of all these kingdoms, even till today. And I don't care what they say. Yahweh said in his word that the fourth kingdom shall rule till Yahushua come back. So I don't care if they say NATO. I don't care if they say BRICS. If people bring all these other things up, the word of Yahweh says that the fourth kingdom that's going to be diverse than all of them shall be ruling till Yahushua come back. Different names they come up with, how many spins they put on it, the word of Yahweh. You haven't heard me wrong yet. But you got all these other people coming up with these thoughts and these ideas on what it means and what's going on in this. No. It says the fourth kingdom going to be in power. So a mountain cut out and crushed the 10 toes. When we talk about it in Revelations, and they turn on the woman, they turn on the church. But the church is not the fourth beast. But we ain't going to get into that. That's another story. That's another story. But I just want to hit this preeminence. Right? I just want to define that in the Oxford Dictionary. It says surpassing all others. This is the Oxford Dictionary. Very distinguished in some way. Preeminent. So hit your Hebrews 34:92, what we come to, and it's just the same word, plenty. Drop all the way down. You got to skip that if you got what I have. And it says Hebrews, from Hebrews 34:98, Rudabin, excuse me, Jatar, a place in. So you look that word up, Rudabin, again in the Oxford Dictionary. Not or no longer needed or useful. Not or no longer needed or useful. Why is this associated with this kingdom, with this beast, or with this image that we're seeing? The word rudiment, associated with it. What is you showing us, Abba? Again, let us look at today's world. No longer needed, no longer of use. So this kingdom is going to have preeminence, this body, this image that we're seeing, is going to have preeminence in the world, and it's going to make something no longer needed. I'm sorry, I just had to ask Abba the question. Abba, why do you allow that? Why do you allow this image to have, and if you look in today's world, that Abba Yah is no longer needed. Abba Yah is no longer for use. And when I tell you, Abba Yah, everything happens for a reason. I had a friend of mine come over yesterday, one of my kids, and that's how they felt. They felt like that. That if he's such a good guy, why he don't do this? Why is it slavery? Why is it male chauvinism? Why is that? I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. Why is he here? That was the exact word. Why is he God if he ain't doing nothing? And when I looked at it, this kind of husband was going through something. I looked at it and I understood the hurt that she was coming through, but I still told her, I said, be careful what you say. Careful what you say. But the rage that was coming off, the despair that was coming off. And remember we talked about the fruit of the spirit of the beast system, right? The image of this image, because it has fruits of the spirit. And what is the fruits of the spirit of the despair, anger, lostness of hope? All these things that goes against the kingdom of Yah. And that's what he's using for this world. He is using all this despair, all this hurt, all this suffering in this world in the minds of the world to make Abba Yah unusable, obsolete, not even needed. This fourth image. Man, we're going to finish reading it, but Abba wanted me to stop this because he has done the work, this fourth image. He done what he was told to do, to bring the mindset of the people to despair, to so much hurt and pain, and we no longer need you, God, or whoever you are. We'll need you because all is going on in this world system and you ain't doing nothing about it. But, and that's what I said. So, and she said, don't tell me about free will. Everybody got free will. I said, so if he came and made you be obedient to him, would he be taking away your free will? Yeah, I'm talking about people that ain't good, people that's bad, people that, well, I said, well, what standard are you calling yourself good by? I know I'm good. How you know that? Because I ain't out here doing this. I ain't doing that. But you're not doing what he actually did. But I'm using that as an example for the mindset of the world. We all know someone that had the same words or have the same feelings about Yahweh. But this is what this image is supposed to do. It's supposed to make Abba Yah obsolete. It's supposed to make Abba Yah no longer needed in the minds of the world. But we don't get to what Yahushua body is supposed to do, because there's a difference. If this body making Abba Yah obsolete, what is Yahushua body supposed to be doing to the world? One will chase 1,000, two 10,000. Because he understands the numbers that we will be up against. Be like that Marine. We got to be on that battlefield at all times. So we'll slip and fall in some cracks. We will slip and fall in some cracks. And we done lost a battle. We done lost some battle. We ain't going to lose the war. We better hold on to that deep, because Abba Yah is not going to lose the war, already won. But we do have some battle. But just think of this image and what it's supposed to do. Think of what he said about that fourth beast again. So think to change times and laws. It has done its job. It is doing its job. this world. See today. And we started off again. Key word, latter days. Latter days. Another key word, greater works ye shall do. Can we see the chess moving back and forth, fam? Can we see the move that the Yahweh is doing against Hillel? Hillel don't have no new knowledge. Only new knowledge he gets is from when Yahweh reveals it to us. He know how to manipulate us. He know how to pull a wool over us. He know how to bombard us with this life. Bombard us. We were talking about that earlier, me and Brother Mariel and Brother Harbel, about the psyop that's going on against the world's mind, the people's mind now in the world. If you were a person that watched television each and every day and watched the news each and every day, you are being bombarded. Even if you use social media every day, you are being bombarded with information over and over and over again. Information is coming at you. Especially if we are the type of person that we like to study, we like to learn over and over again. Even with that, Brother Shlomo says, much studying is worrisome to the flesh. So it's like when Yahushua stepped away from the Talmudim at times or the people, because he had to refresh. He had to rewind and be by himself and have his own thoughts. We all got to do that type of stuff. You all have to refresh and step away. Husband got to step away from wives sometimes. We ain't talking about days on end, you going away for a couple of weeks on whatever type of. No, you going away and you stepping away with Yahweh. We ain't talking foolish here, but we always got to do disclaimers out there because the mind of people, we the believer's mind as well. The believer's mind is not exempt from this world. So we always have, you will hear all of them raised, always throwing out disclaimers because it should be believers on here understanding that the Marae ain't talking about you go out there and soak your royal and you just have some fun in the sand and then you come back. No, you go away and you refresh. Even if you're in your own home, you turn off things, you go to that dark room and you refresh. Yeshua said it like this, your secret closet. You refresh. You move away from this world. It's a must that we have to refresh. We cannot just continue to take in information week in, week out, day in, day out, all day long. Even spiritual information will overwhelm us. We're not made for that. Our bodies ain't made for that. Our mind is not made for that. But again, the one thought that we wanted to bring out that was brightness was excellent, and it takes you all the way back to rudiment. And we looked that word up in the Oxford Dictionary, obsolete, no longer needed. And that's what this body job is, to make Yahweh no longer needed in the world. Then it took our prayer, even though it was something that wasn't of Yahweh, it wasn't praying to Yahweh, but even with that, Yahweh could use that. Because many of us grew up in Christianity, or even Islam. We had some type of faith. And, you know, Mario asked an important question today. He said, how is it that people could be atheists and all that, and when they on their dying bed, they call on God? But their whole life, they didn't serve him not one way. But when they on their dying bed or when they're back up against the wall, they expect God to come save them, or Yahweh to come save them. And that's what I felt about my older daughter last night. You hurt, and you believe in your mind that if there was a mighty one, there was God, I wouldn't be going through the things that I'm going through. And she ain't alone because a lot of believers feel the same way. Why do I got to go through all this hurt and pain? Why my husband have to be that way towards me? You know, my daughter, my youngest daughter, her gripe was, why did my grandmother have to die? These just examples that the world have these thoughts in their mind every day. Even believers have those same thoughts. The difference is with a believer is you'll get your answers. They're not saying that the world don't get answers because he will answer them too. He may not like the answer that he give them, but he will answer them too. And just to use our rabbi, because he said it publicly, that I'm not saying nothing that he haven't said. He said when his son died, that he asked Abba why his son had died. And he said, why? He said the answer was, why not your son? How many people who does not have a relationship with Abba Yah can accept that answer? Believers can't even accept that answer. And even I believe my brother had to grow to accept that answer. It ain't just take root just like that. Process of accepting that answer. How much more those who do not have a relationship with Abba Yah accept that answer like that? Not your mother. Why not your girlfriend? Why not your grandmother? Why not your sister? Why not your brother? My son died, and he died for an untoward generation. He died for a very, very wicked generation. Look at what's going on around him. My son died for all of them, even the rapists, everybody. Everything that we believe that my son died for. And here's the thing about my son. He was innocent. He was saving lives. He was turning lives around. He did not do no wrong. The mind can't handle that. Today's mind can't handle somebody not doing wrong. They can't handle that. Ain't nobody perfect. That's an excuse that even believers use. Nobody's perfect. But when the scripture says, be ye perfect as I am perfect, versus be ye holy as I'm holy, scripture tells us to do that. We understand that we ain't going to be perfect in the sense that we won't make mistakes, we won't fall. An expectation of us be perfect. And even when we fall, because we just came to a feast that shows that when you wave two loaves of bread with leaven, that we, even when we went and did all we can and we hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, that we still have sin in us. We still have some foolishness in us. But what we did do and what we did know, we tried to the best of our ability. We tried to be perfect to the best what we knew. We tried to be perfect to the best of our ability. Amen. Let's move on. 32. Matter of fact, I'm going to start at 31 again to keep the thought going. You, O king, saw and behold a great image. This image, which was mighty and whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and its appearance was terrifying. As for this image, its head was of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of clay. He described the man. You know what's funny, most time when we read this, most people don't correlate a man to this image. And they don't correlate a body. So the scripture does talk about two bodies. They don't put that together. This is a whole body that is what we know, and what we mostly go to is the end result of Rome. But Rome is just the foot of the whole body. Correlation going on here. And we sometimes, when we read the scripture, we move things away. Until Abba Yah, even me, because I was like that until he showed me, oh, you know what, that's a body. And it was there all along, but it ain't until Abba Yah said, you know what, now you can see that. You'll see something. You saw until a stone was cut out with hands, was cut out without hands, which struck image on its feet that were of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the brass, and the gold were broken into pieces together and became like a chaff of the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that they know that no place was found for them. The stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Again, we read on the thing. It says the silver, the gold, the clay. It means it broke the whole image in the whole body. Broken pieces. It's Rome. It's the end result. Rome is the thing that's balancing it, the thing that's carrying it, the foundation of it, on the handpiece of it. That's why in Revelation it calls it Mystery Babylon, because by the time we read in Revelation, we forget about the beast. We forget about it is a whole body you're going to destroy, and not just Rome, but the whole coalition of these kingdoms that Abba is telling us that have been moving through time to try to make him obsolete, no more of use. And he allowed it. He is allowing it. This is the dream, and we will tell its interpretation before King. You, O King, are the King of Kings, to whom the Mighty One of Heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. Wherever the children of men dwell, he has given the animals of the field and the birds of the sky into your hand and has made you rule over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise that is inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, which will rule over the earth. The fourth kingdom will be strong as iron, because iron break in pieces and subdue all things. And as iron that crushes all these, it will break in pieces and crush. Whereas you saw the feet and toes and part of iron, it will be a divided kingdom, but there will be in it of the strength of the iron, because you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. I was stopping that for 45. As the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they will mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they won't cling to one another, even as iron does not mix with clay. In the days of those kings, Yah, the Mighty One of Heaven, will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, nor its sovereignty be left to another people, but it will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand for. See, we've been reading over this all this time, because it's not talking about just one of these kingdoms. It's talking about all four of them and what they have formed. Last days. It's not talking about just Rome. It says these kingdoms. It's going to destroy all of everything that they influenced the world with. Destroyed by Yahushua HaMashiach. talking about one kingdom here, talking about all of them. But our mind, when we go to Revelation, we stop because it merely brings out just a Rome. But we know from Daniel, all these are one. Moving through time as one. Absorbing the other. Preeminence over another. But they still that one body. If it wasn't so, Scripture wouldn't just tell us that. Scripture tells us that this is one body, all these kingdoms, it's one body. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it one more time and we'll be done with that. In the days of those kings, the mighty one of heaven will set up a king. In what days? The days that Daniel is talking to King Nebuchadnezzar? Or in the days that we're living in, what Daniel said? What's going to happen in the latter days? Kingdom. In the days of those kings, the mighty one of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, nor will its sovereignty be left to another people, but it will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. Say king, kingdom. He didn't even have an F on it. All these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. Because you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain with our hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great mighty one has made known to the king what will happen hereafter. Dream is certain, and it is believable. Are we going to allow the world to dictate to us and give us this foolishness of what they believe the word of Yahweh saying? Are we going to take the word of Yahweh for face value first? Believe what it says to us. And believe what it says to us. Not one kingdom. It's these four kingdoms that he's going to come back and destroy. But they are one. We will read about it because it's one body. It's one body. But listen to this one place we're going to go here in Psalms 83 and listen to the coalition of these things. Psalms 83, 1 through 5, and the thought is in the last verse, but we're going to read all five. Mighty one, don't keep silent. Don't keep silent. And don't be still, Elohim. For behold, your enemies are stirred up. Those who hate you have lifted up their heads. And listen to everything we just talked about, this image, this body, how it wants to make Yahweh obsolete, no more needed in this world. They conspire with cunning against you. Against your people, they plot against your cherished one. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind, alliance against you. Everything we just read about. But this is Yahweh showed them that. That we that too. Holy men, wake, moved by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit. He just ain't come out and start writing this. Yahweh showed them these things. Probably didn't understand why he was writing this. Fire, it's an alliance against you, Abiyah. But Abiyah is not worried about them coming together. In fact, when we just read in Revelation, we just came through the book of Revelation, he wants them to come together. Matter of fact, he is designing it so at the end, they will come together. They will come together and fight against them. Two more places, family, and is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because we got to read about the other body. and what is his job, what they should be doing. Because if this body here wants to make Abba Yah obsolete, no longer needed, the body, what is the body of Yahushua supposed to be doing? We know it. I just like to tell. Now concerning spiritual things, and we're going to read the whole chapter, fam. Now concerning spiritual things, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. And remember, we talking about the body of Yahushua. But as we talked about in the beginning with the body of Satan and how it started off, the thought that Abba Yah wanted his readers to get, same thing here. The thought that he wanted to give us, how he started this off, how he moved upon Brother Shaul to talk and write this down for us today. Now concerning spiritual things, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were heathen, you were led away to those mute idols, however you might be led. Therefore, I make known to you that no man speaking by Yah's spirit says Yahushua is accursed. No one can say Yahushua is Adonai, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are various kinds of gifts. There are various kinds of service and the same master. I like that one right there, though. I'm going to stop with that one for a second. We're going to really drive that one home. There are various kinds of service and the same master. But he's going to break it down himself. I ain't got to break it down. There are various kinds of working, but the same mighty one who works all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of all. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And to another, workings of miracles. And to another, prophecy. Another, discerning of spirits. And to another, different kinds of languages. And to another, the interpretation of languages. But the one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing to each one separately as he desires. For as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body being many are one body, so also Mashiach. For in one Spirit we all are baptized. We're all baptized into one body, whether Yahudi or Gentile, whether bond or free. And we're all given to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot would say, because I am not the hand, I am not part of the body, it is not therefore not part of the body. If the ear would say, because I am not the eye, I am not part of the body, it is not therefore not part of the body. Is it not therefore not part of the body? The whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now Yahweh has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If there were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, but one body. The eye can't tell the hand, I have no need for you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need for you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those parts of the body which you think to be less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor and our unprecedented part have more abundant priority. Whereas our presentable parts have no such need, but mighty one correspond the body together, compose the body together, giving more abundant honor to the inferior part, that there should be no division in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. I'm going to read that one again. But there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Mashiach and members individually. Elohim has set some in the assembly, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracle workers, then gifts of healing, health, government, and various kinds of language. When he said government, he's talking about offices. All apostles are all prophets, all teachers, are all miracle workers, all have gifts of healing. You all speak with various languages. You all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gift. Moreover, I show a most excellent way to you. And again, this is how Brother Paul give credence and importance to each member. Each member he gives importance to. Because you're not a teacher, because you're not a prophet, because you don't have the gifts of healing, you may be just a regular congregant sitting in the pew. That's all right. You are still a part of the body. You are still a member of the body, regardless of, like he said earlier, the inferior part. There is no inferior part of the body of Mashiach. Body is important. Everybody is not a part. Everybody don't have the gifts of him. But I love how he started off. When you start at the top and he talks about the spiritual gifts, everybody can have those. I mean, you're blessed to have all of them at one time. Hallelujah. But it's not that only the prophet's going to get the spiritual gifts. Only the teacher's going to get these spiritual gifts. Because you have the gifts of healing, a prophet, does that make you inferior? Does that make you to the body? No. Abba may not give that teacher the gift of him, but he may just give a regular congregant in the body the gifts of healing, the gifts of tongues. But each member has its purpose. We all have to walk in our purpose. Why? Because there's another body that's walking in this purpose and is doing what it's supposed to do, trying to make our Father obsolete, trying to make our Father of no effect in this world. But we know, as the body of Mashiach, that would never happen. Regardless how the majority of the world see Yahweh, that would never happen. Because I stand here, you stand there. And where you stand and where I stand, though we may not be in the same household, we're still a part of the household of Yahweh. We're still a part of the body of Mashiach. Because our minds and our spirits are connected. And we're working towards the same thing. One more scripture, matter of fact, and that's Ephesians 4. I'm going to let the word say what I was about to say. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh beg you to walk worthily. I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, beg you to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. Therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, beg you to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. No matter where you was called at, whether if you were a teacher, if you were a healer, no matter what part of the body you are, to walk worthily of that. With all lowliness and humility, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you also were called in one hope of your calling. One Master, one faith, one baptism, one mighty one, one Elohim, Father of all, over all, and through all, and in us all. But, excuse me, I'm about to keep going. That's it right there, Father. The oneness of the body of Yahushua. If our adversaries can become one, and though we may see and chaotic thing that's in this world, but trust and believe that that kingdom is not divided, that that kingdom is may act as if it's in chaos, but look at it as organized chaos. Yahushua told us this, if Satan casts out Satan, if his kingdom is divided, then it won't stand. Yahushua told us that kingdom of Satan is not divided. He let us know in the scripture when they came against him and tried to say that he had a spirit of Beelzebub. But he let us know that that kingdom, if that kingdom was divided, we wouldn't see what we see out here in this world. We wouldn't see a continuance of evil, a continuance of wickedness, a continuance of chaos moving as if it's being orchestrated, and we know it's being orchestrated by Allah, by Satan. That kingdom is not divided, though it may seem that it's divided. And we as believers of in the body of Mashiach, we should know that Satan's kingdom is not divided. And regardless of what's happening in this world, just like Yahweh would say, for the good of us, working for Yah, for our Satan. Everything. And it's orderly. It's orderly. And they have an alliance of oneness. Just as the body of Yahushua to have that alliance of oneness. Even, and that's nothing new to an Israelite. Tamar Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh is a card, the oneness of Yahweh. That's nothing new. Every Israelite says the Shema at least 2 to 3 times a day when he starts his prayer, he or she. Every Israel. Yahweh's been teaching us that oneness since the inception of the Ten Commandments and when he gave his Torah to Israel, the inception of the people, Israel. A oneness, same mind. I'd like to thank y'all family for staying with me for these 6 weeks and allowing Abiyah to use me. I'll thank him for that, that I was able to get out the way and he was able to come through me and speak. Firstly, we all got something out of these 6 weeks and we know who is going to rule in the end. We know out of all the kingdoms, we just read part of it, out of all the kingdoms, which kingdom is going to rule. And if we can see it, it's a coming together of two kingdoms. It's like Yahushua, he's merging. We look at Egypt as an upper and lower. But we as Israelites is part of an upper kingdom and a lower kingdom. Because we here as Israelites and walking in this Torah, the constitution of ours, that we are the kingdom of Yahweh on earth. And there is a kingdom of Yahweh that's in the heavens. But we are the kingdom of Yahweh on earth. And those two kingdoms will merge because he's bringing the kingdom of heaven down. And we shall meet him in the sky. Shalom once again, family. Pray for me later on today. We that Abiyah continue to feed us through our brother Deuel and our brother Kanik Al. And forgive me, family, because I won't be able to make it up there tomorrow, but I will be keeping the Shabbat in the home. But forgive me for that. I won't be able to make it up there with the fellowship. But let me close out with the closing benediction, and the Shabbat door is open. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again for giving us your word, Abiyah, we ask that you be the one that plant and water and give the increase, Abiyah, that you move upon the brothers and sisters, not just here in Beth Yahweh, Father, but all the nation of Israel, of Yah, Father, those who you're calling out for a purpose, Father, in these last days, Father, to build this, Father, yet you continue to strengthen us, Father, that we may walk on our own 2 feet, Father, that as Moshe let your hand go, as Jeremiah let your hand go, as Eliyahu let your hand go, so shall we, Abiyah, let your hand go and walk in the spiritual gifts that you gave us, Father, and the power that you gave us, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom, Abiyah.
Much confusion, we've decided to unify. We won't let the vision die. We know there is a greater purpose, one aim, one destiny, and we'll all stay aligned to us preferred by Yah. Man keep his hand in the hand of Yah, with woman by his side, our children will follow, and together in unity we'll shine and glorify Yah. Together forever we'll glorify Yah. In unity together we'll glorify Yah. In truth and in unity, one love, one destiny, one great Yah family, in truth and in unity. One love, one destiny, one great Yah family.
Yeah. Nothing will ever come between us.
Great God, family.
Because careful of all your deeds. You are the light to your enemies. You were given the responsibility. So stay away from idolatry. Look up in the sky. Can't you see the sign? This is the last. This is the last. We're living in the last day. This is the last. This is the last. We're living in the last day. You can have all the money in the world, it won't help you in the
last day.
You can't get away in your fast cars in the
last day.
He knows where you are no matter where you hide.
Last day.
Your degrees in philosophy won't help you in the
last day.
A few will be chosen.
Heavenly voices, speak to me. Heavenly voices.